people say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning and pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning to the Josh Terry Podcast. It has been an exciting week for us on the show. We started off in Nashville at a Creative Vets golf tournament earlier this week. And from there, it's just gone downhill. But to make it go back uphill, my dude, Mr. Travis from Dirty Prescott Kids, who was at that charity event this week with Creative Vets. I love seeing him there with CPS Dave, and I asked him if he could do the show this week, and he was grateful enough to do it with me. So, dude, what is up?
Just thriving. Finally, the hangover lifted from the epic weekend.
Yeah, that one always hurts, right? Nashville hangovers hurt worse.
Nashville hurts, yeah, for sure. Dude.
It was so cool. This is the second year now. The first, I've done the Creative Vets golf tournament 3 years now. And the first year we did, you and Caroline came the night before or the day before to their art exhibit. And I talk about that all the time. I talk about how there's a lot of folks on social media that we've asked to do stuff with us. And when it starts to get into more of the sensitive shit for veterans and mental health and all that kind of stuff, they stray away because it's not their quote unquote brand. And I literally tell folks all the time, I was like, Travis and Caroline were there. They thought it was cool and liked going and showing support before it ever even was like a bigger thing than it is now. And y'all, you being back and helping out this week, dude, I just love you. I just love the dude you are. And I'm grateful that you do stuff like that when others don't.
Hey man, we love you too. And I mean, as soon as I saw what was going on and realized how great of an organization it was, it's kind of a no brainer. Like if I can make myself free to help out with that, I'm down.
Yeah. It was funny to me, because like, do you ever have moments where somebody recognizes you that you kind of look up to and that you like, whether it's their music or whatever, they know who you are and you're like, how the fuck do you know who I am? I remember right there before we got started the other day, somebody was like, that's the kid from the Dirty Prescotts. That dude's cool as fuck. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, I know. That dude's sweet.
Oh, man.
It's cool, dude.
Every once in a while, I do get recognized and I love it every time. I think it has a lot to do with me making myself as recognizable as possible, but either way, I love it every time. It's awesome.
Well, I know I told you like several times the other night while we were hanging out that I'm such a cunt. It's so hard for me to really connect with people because I just don't think they're genuine. I don't think they're real. I think a lot of folks that me and you have met off of social media, when you actually get around them, you realize that what you see on social media isn't them.
Yeah.
And with you, you're not like that. So when we was bullshitting the other night and just got to vibe and chill and hang out and everything, it's just like, it's refreshing to me. I've almost got burnt out on this.
Yeah.
If it wasn't my job now, because dude, there's just so many people that are fake as fuck.
Yeah.
You're somebody that I can bullshit with every week.
Well, ditto, my brother. I appreciate it. I don't know. I wish, I did more like events and things like that, but you know, you do them all the time. I feel like I go down, I feel burnt out after a good weekend. And I'm like, I can't wait to go back to my hometown where there's no influencers running around and shit.
Yeah, it's a lot. We had the one this week, obviously at Creative Vets, but then Friday night I had to go drive back to Atlanta for Make-A-Wish. And like, it gets old, it gets stressful, it's taxing on relationships, it's taxing on your personal life and everything. But, dude, it's just hard to say no for me sometimes. Like, I'm good in some cases. Like, I'm good at saying no to people, but not organizations that help others.
Oh, yeah. Because I
feel like it's a privilege. Like, I feel like I'm the one that is privileged to be there to help out. And when I get to places like that, they're like, they're so nice and they cater to me and everything. Like, and it's like, why are you catering to me? Like, shouldn't I be the one kissing your ass for letting me be involved with this? And somehow I find the energy. But that getting back home and taking it simple, I've got to learn how to do that better. Like me and we're kind of in a weird place right now, but me and the girl that I've been seeing for a while, like, she's trying to teach me how to keep it simple. And keeping it simple is tough.
It can be.
Tough.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah, but getting back to your home, dude, I got to figure out how much fun that is. Because it's just, to me, I don't know how to not go anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think everybody, everybody's home area isn't always created equal, too. Some people are always trying to jet out of it. I do really like mine. So I look forward to coming back to it. And when I'm at home, all the people that as much as I love being embraced by people and hyped up and people say things like, oh, I love your content or music, all that stuff. People in my hometown and everything, they don't really act like that. So it's kind of a nice change of pace, honestly.
Yeah, my hometown don't give two shits about me. I like it that way though. I like it to where now I've had that bullshit that was going on with that Cody Wolf dude for the past month, and it burnt me out. Like, I know that's what burnt me out. And luckily we had a resolution on it and I don't have to really fuck with it no more. But even like those 2 days that I was just in Nashville for the golf tournament, I'd walk somewhere, like, and it didn't matter. And it was kind of good, but it was kind of bad. Somebody would recognize me and bring it up. And it's like, but this isn't what I want to be known for.
Right.
Like this is like, I don't like the drama. You guys don't like the drama. You guys is like fucking having a good time. And I like having a good time. It's cool when you get recognized, but I think it's even cooler when you don't, I guess, when you're around people that just treat you. Cause we are, there is nothing different between me and you than anybody in our hometowns. We found out how to do what we love for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think my whole hometown doesn't embrace the shit that I do, but the people I choose to hang out with absolutely do. And they're curious on all the things I'm doing and everything, but they don't like, I guess they hype me up just enough for me to feel confident, but they don't hype me up enough for me to think anything different. Like, oh, I should dip out of this place. I love being here. And they give me a creative look at things that I do that other people don't. And I don't know, for now, I still love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Mine's is weird, dude. Mine's is weird. I think that most of the people where I'm from would just rather act like I don't exist.
Yeah.
I really do feel that, but I also, and I don't know whether you've ever encountered anything like this or what, me and you don't act like we're anything. Like, we don't want special treatment when we go places. We don't want anything extra, right? Like, we're cool. We're cool paying for concert tickets, you know? We don't ask for favors on anything. And I think a lot of people think we're the opposite, though. I know they do in my hometown. They think that I think that I'm better than them now. So they just ignore me. And it's like, no, but I want more. Like, it's not necessarily I want to get out of this area because I want to live in the country my whole life. But I do want more. I want to leave my mark.
Yeah. And I think that, something about like the small area, sometimes people really like to make you feel small, and it is, it's a weird,
well, you know, yeah, trust me, that you ever got that shit they say, it must be nice?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about that down in Nashville. People were asking me a similar question. And I said, the one that I always remember, I don't know, it sticks out to me when people say it is, how's that little music thing of yours doing?
Oh.
The little music.
Yeah. It's the little podcast. I get it.
The little podcast.
Man. Boy. I like it when somebody asks me if I'm still doing it. And I know that they know that I'm still doing it.
Yep.
They're like, oh, hey, dude, you still doing that radio thing? Yeah. Yeah, I'm still doing that radio thing. I just saw you like 10 of my posts last week. Yeah. I'm still
exactly.
doing that radio thing.
My freaking uncle the other day asked me, it wasn't the other day, it was like last summer, but he said, hey, you still working at the hospital? And this is a job I did before Ironwork, before the music thing took off. I'm talking possibly over a decade ago. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
I swear he knows too. He just said that. Like, you still working at the hospital? I was like, no.
I don't know what they expect from us when people ask like that stuff either. It's so weird and random
It is.
when they say shit like that. It's just like, why?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get your reasoning behind this at all.
Yeah, it's like a little jab down. I'll bring it down a little bit. I don't really know how to explain it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's definitely a jab.
Yeah.
It's always that way. And it blows my mind. See, I'm one of those people, I want to be supportive of everyone. Even if I don't like what you're doing, if you're a good person, I still want to support you, regardless if it's a regular 9 to 5 or if it's, you know, something like we do that's a little extra. I still want to be supportive. Like me and you were talking the other night, and I was telling you, like, you know, I want to write a song with you. I want to do something with you to where anybody else that was not traditional country, I probably wouldn't, but I love you and I love what you do so much that hell, if I'm gonna take my, you know, take my crack at doing something different, I want to be it with a good person like you.
Yeah, dude.
And like, this is why not just, why not, even if you don't exactly line up with somebody else, if they're a good person, why wouldn't you root for them? Why wouldn't you cheer for them? I don't get why
Yeah.
people don't cheer.
Yeah, I feel the same way, bro. I see people doing things that it's like they might be doing something that it's not like I love the type of music you're making or the type of content, whatever. But like, if I can see that genuineness in you, I can root for that easy. I don't even have to care about the exact, you know, content that you're making. It's just like a hell yeah, or whatever you're doing, business.
Yeah,
I could have no.
because you know who you're working with,
Yeah.
regardless of what you're doing. Like, I want, hell, it could just be a fucking video,
Yeah.
TikTok, Insta, whatever, a post or whatever. I would do that shit with you to where there are people all day, every day ask you and me to do stuff. And I'm most of the time, I'm like, nah, I'm
Yeah.
good. Like, that's not me. I don't feel like it's genuine. I don't really want to do this to where it's like, y'all, it's like, oh yeah, just we'll do whatever. I don't give
Yeah.
a shit. I'm down to do whatever. And like, you're about the only folks that's outside of like Alabama or Nashville or whatever that I've been like, I'm going to visit. Like, I know I've been saying it for like 2 years now,
Yeah.
but I'm coming to fucking
Yeah.
Wisconsin. And I just know that what I see and who I've been around is what I'm gonna get, like
Yeah.
24 hours a day.
Oh yeah, and then some, because there's a lot of people just like us roaming around this area. It's an underrated area. I'm surprised that more people don't come to these areas, but it's just kind of a hidden gem. We'd love to have you. I mean, I
Oh
already
yeah.
told you that, but you'd like it.
Well, I know it. And y'all got the dudes that I like doing a show with them. The On Tap guys.
Oh yeah.
I really like the On Tap guys too. They're not far from y'all, are they? Well,
They're not far, like an hour and some.
that's not bad. We need to line it up one day over the summer. Us meet over at their studio and all of us get some drinks and record an episode together.
Yeah, they got a nice little setup over there. It's like right above a pizza joint, and they got all these couches set up now and drinks, and I don't know. It was a good little podcast setup. I just did one on 420 with them.
Of course, you picked 420.
It was their choice. They asked us to do it, and I was like, you know. Who am I to turn you down?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude. What's some other stuff you got going on? Like, 'cause I know y'all done a couple shows with me now, but I'm sure our listeners follow all your social media and everything. What's some different shit you got going now, or anything you got going compared to 2 years ago?
So, you know, I like to just say that I got a lot more going on now, but I will say this, as a precursor to it, that last year, it's been about actually yesterday was 1 year since me and Caroline bought our first house together.
That's cool.
Moved out the trailer park, which as much as I loved that thing, it was time to go. And I felt like at first, like such a priority shift that even though I was like still cranking out content and as much music as I could and everything, I did feel like I wasn't really sure what to do, you know, not really sure what to do with my hands. So all of a sudden it's like, yo, my bills went up, my responsibilities went up and everything. So it took me a little while to get my like swing back and things. I did just enough to stay relevant, but it almost felt like I wasn't really creating shit. But I have felt the massive relief of like getting back into it. I got like right now, my little list of songs right now, I got about 25 that are either half to three quarters the way done. Really excited about that. Got some big shows coming up, opening up for Demon Jones on the 17th of May. That's going to be a fun one.
Where at?
Ringo, Wisconsin. It's okay. Central Wisconsin.
He's from my area. Well, we know each other.
Yeah, Jones County, Georgia, right?
Yeah.
That's where he's at. He raps it pretty hard, so it's hard not to know that detail. But I met him a couple times.
He's a good dude. He's one of those, man. And I know I've told you this before, but I'm just not the biggest country rap fan. Like, I just don't like it, but there's some people you just want to root for.
Yeah.
And he's such a good dude, and his music is, I can listen to it. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But him being a good dude and then not being trash, it's like, okay, yeah, I can get behind this. I can support this dude.
Yeah. And I mean, I know this is a whole nother conversation. Absolutely, he's not the only one doing it, but I just recently started to notice like he's going on tour with like Brantley Gilbert, and I noticed my hometown, or not hometown, but my home festival, 13 years running just as a festival goer, I've gone to Country Fest in Cadott, Wisconsin. It is just an absolute rage fest out in the cornfield, and I noticed he was on the lineup, which I've never seen them even attempt to grab anybody from like the country rap space. So I'm assuming he's like transitioning into some country. I don't know what that means, but
I don't think he's doing that. I think his music, like I said, even as a traditionalist when it comes to country music, I think I can still appreciate his music.
Yeah.
And I think most people are like that to him, because country rap has got such a bad name. Yeah. 99% of it is bad. Like, it's not for me. I don't want to say it's bad because a lot of people like it, but it's just, I don't vibe with it at all. But Demon stuff, I wouldn't be mad if somebody turned it on.
Well, like,
I think that's how a lot of folks are towards him.
There's a reason why he's, you know, considered if the genre gets brought up, he's considered in the top of the people doing it. Yep. And there is definitely some people right there with him that are doing some good shit. I actually I think I said this before on the show, but I landed in the genre really not by my own choice. I consider most of my music just kind of rap, but the topics of the songs, I guess, kind of landed me in that.
Yeah.
And the way that they embraced me and everything, I was like, fuck it. I wasn't really trying to label it. But
I don't think yours is country rap. I know I've told you this 100 times. I don't think you're country rap. I don't think that you have a certain genre you have to fit in. I think probably what happens is you're a white dude from Wisconsin that raps, and you rap about the stuff you know, which just happens to be country living. So they're like, no, he's a country rapper. I don't think you're necessarily a country rapper. I don't even know what label you'd put on it, dude. I don't know if you can.
I don't know either, but I know that, like, I know like how it happened, because they're, you know, just adding a certain type of guitar and just adding, like, I did have a song called Country Drunk, and that was just about partying in the fields with my friends. But, like, you know, adding certain instruments, people instantly just go right to the country rap. And I don't got a problem with it. Actually, the way people categorize it really isn't affecting my, you know, the who's streaming it and whatnot. I do know that it is rap of some sort, but whatever.
I mean this with like all due respect, because I don't know what genre they would have been in, but do you remember the people that came out with the song, like, is it Shot, 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 Shots, Everybody?
Yeah.
What's their fucking name?
Was that LMFAO?
Yeah. I don't know what they were, but they were such a good time and a vibe.
Yeah, they did have like a run in history there.
Yeah, like, that's what I feel like your stuff is, though. You're just a good time and a vibe. Like, I don't know what to classify, but I think that's what makes it cool too, that it doesn't fit in a box and you're not trying to fit in a box.
Yeah, I the way that my mind works and everything, I can't even categorize anything I do. So like when I'm making music, it's based usually off of how I'm feeling at the time or how a certain beat or a instrument made me feel, and like that's the gonna be the topic of the song. So like I'm not like out there like, all right, I'm gonna make a song about this. And I know a lot of people, like back to the country rap space, the reason it can get so like niche and kind of corny is because people see something work or a topic and they're like, must talk about this. And you know what happens in country too? It's like you got to hit these hot keys. And I just, no.
Yeah, the country rap shit, the reason why I think it's just bleh is that 99% they're literally going to just rap about slinging mud, going to mud bogs, all this type of shit. And it's like, there's more to life, right? Like, you don't have to make every song about going to a fucking mud bog, but they're trying to appeal to their fan base. And it's just, hey, more power to them. Their fan base likes it. Their fan base likes it.
And that's the thing too, is that's I think that's where I kind of found my little window, because like when I go to these shows, not knocking anyone's music, there's some people in the genre that are fucking awesome. And it's like, if you want the mud music, they got someone for you. He comes up, he plays a couple songs. Well, then I come up there, and all of a sudden we go from maybe this country drunk song to this song about drinking a bunch of tequila to this song about quitting your job and moving to the Keys, songs about the 1990s, just kind of all over the place. Sometimes people are looking at you like, what the hell is this? And sometimes they're like, well, that was way different than the other stuff we heard. So mostly, I think it just throws a different look at things.
Well, it just helps. You're an artist. Now, nobody has ever told you think about like a Ray Charles. Ray Charles did R&B, soul, and everything. When he decided to do a country album, he decided to do a country album. You got people now like Post Malone. He's coming over wanting to do country. It's people are starting to break loose from that box to where, hey, if you started off one way, you don't have to maintain and keep going that way. Like if you're good at what you do, regardless of what art you put out, it's still gonna be good. Yeah, it's I don't know. You could go from Sublime to fucking some gospel, and it'd probably be good.
I feel like there's a tasteful way to, the way that these genres are being blended. It's not a bad thing, because at the end of the day, all you're going to do is listen to whatever music you want to or whatever
Yeah.
you like. So it doesn't really matter what it's categorized as, even though it really like seems to make people mad. In ways, it makes me mad sometimes. They say this is this type of music, and you're like, no, it's not. But like, it doesn't really matter what category it is. It's either you like it or you don't. But with like the country thing, I do find myself right there with you, where I almost feel, even though it's not like my genre of singing, it's my preferred genre of listening, and I grew up on it. I love it so much, and it is weird to see the bending of the genre that's been happening. It's been happening for a long time, but
Oh yeah.
now it's like, I don't know what's country, what's pop. That's why I resort so much to the classics, because a lot of new shit's like, what? What?
Well, I think what has drove it is money. I think ticket sales and everything. I think Morgan Wallen and Hardy and every Taylor Swift too. I think everybody that is at the top of that list has just proven how much money is in country compared to everywhere else across the board. So like a Taylor Swift fan is going to pay a stupid amount of money. A Morgan Wallen fan is going to pay a stupid amount of money. And they're probably got 80 to 90% country listeners. I think that's why everybody's coming over to the genre are trying to do something country. And see, like the reason why people like me get pissed, I don't care if something's called country. I don't care. It's like somebody with you are country. You're a country fucking kid. It doesn't matter. However you break it down, so you have country influence. I don't feel like you're trying to make yourself be something that you're not. I don't really have a problem with Post Malone doing it, because hell, before he got started, there's videos and shit of him doing country music and everything before anything ever took off. So that was who he was. Then he got put into a box. Problem I have with it is like our buddy Will Mosley, that's on Idol. He's been literally denied a number one twice now. One from Beyonce, who's trying to prove a stupid fucking point. Two is from that What's that song? The Shiesty song or whatever. What is that fucking song now?
Yeah. You know, it's blowing up the bars on.
Yeah. So both of those denied a South Georgia boy, farm kid, his chance, his once in a lifetime chance, or what could have been his once in a lifetime chance to have a number one, because it's categorized as country, because you talk about a whiskey bottle or whatever it is, and one of them, and the other one, you just say Texas and hold them a whole fucking bunch.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of shitty that some people are get screwed out of opportunities because of it. But
right.
Also too, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think that some people should just stick to the all genre list. There ought to be 10 completely different people, not old ass white people. Like 10 different people in a room, and every time a song comes out, it starts to chart that high. They ought to be able to look, and every one of them have to agree, or somebody's got to get 6 votes or whatever. This is either country or it's pop. Yeah. And allow that song to go into the correct category. I don't think each artist, like even if Morgan Wallen puts out a fucking, you know, an R&B song or a rap song tomorrow, that song should go to that chart, not the country chart. It shouldn't just blow up because they say it's a country song.
Right. There's so much to be said about that too. Cause like on the side note of that, there's like they released the song in like 3 different ways. So like the song's 3 separate times on the chart. I don't know how the hell that works.
Yeah.
And another thing is like, they'll release the same song and then you just like, you switch the category, I guess, in the distribution. And then all of a sudden the same song is on the rock, the rap, and the country chart or something like that. And I also don't understand how that works, because it's like,
yeah,
well, it can't be all of them, can it?
No, it can't. It's not. It's not. It's an all genre song. And I wish that's what they would do. And I know that I always sound like the old bitter fucking guy.
Yeah.
But
I do too.
It's just not fair to certain people. It's not fair to a lot of people.
Yeah. And then, and once you said the Will Mosley thing, like you think there's always one person that like is in that genre because that's what they love and that's what they respect, and they make true blue, that type of music, and they're the ones getting booted down the chart because someone came and kind of exploited it.
Yeah.
And that's, man, I just went down that whole entire conversation rabbit hole yesterday. I do get on those type of the topics about just kind of the, like, if you're going to come into a genre, the rappers say it all the time. They're like, it's okay if you come into this culture, but not if you're going to come exploit it and dip. Like, you have to show that you care about the culture. You grew up listening to it. There's kind of some hidden credentials into getting any respect at all.
1,000%. Yeah, I don't get at all why some people just don't. I guess it's leave it alone. Like if your house is good enough and your house is nice, stay in your house.
Yeah.
It's the best way I know how to put it. Like, if it's good enough, if it's nice enough, stay in your damn house. Like, why do you got to come over to my house and mess it up a little bit?
Yeah.
And dude, I don't know. It's hard for me. It's hard for me that, because like even Beyonce, I'll say it a million times. I think she's one of the best singers I've ever heard. I listen to her do the Etta James from Cadillac Records a million times. She is amazing. If she'd have came over to country music and did like some ballads, like her own ballads in a country, like a Carrie Underwood style.
Yeah.
Everybody would be like, fuck yeah, Beyonce. Hell yeah. Yeah. But coming in and trying to change up and being like, oh, they won't let me play the Grand Ole Opry now or whatever. Did you hear about like they're not? So it's either the Grand Ole Opry or the Ryman. I can't remember which one it is. But the entire time of their existence, they have never once allowed anybody to play that stage they did not invite. You have to be invited to play. Beyonce okay. is all up in arms now and pissed off that they won't let her play there, but she wasn't invited. And so they're trying to make a thing out of it now to where Beyonce needs to be able to play there. And they're like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
And only because she's making a big deal out of it now from where she invited herself. It's just, if you're going to come piss on my boots, don't tell me it's rain, I guess is what I'm getting to. You know,
yeah.
Just tell me it's piss. Tell this. Be real with me.
Yeah. Also on the side note, like the disruptor in me also feels like, if someone tell me like, oh, you can't be a part of this genre, there's a part of me also that's like, knock knock, motherfucker, like I'm coming in. I can get that, but I feel like any genre, like if you're gonna come in, I think the best way is to show the fans that you want to be there, not like, yo, this is the trendy music for now, I'm gonna jump in and then jump out, because people feel like kind of, ditched after that, used. Like you come in, they give you their fan base, everybody downloads your shit, and then 2 months later, you're right back. Taylor Swift definitely did it. You can't knock her because she's a superstar, but like she came in, grabbed all those country fans and just dipped.
I think that if you're going to go to a different genre, you have to show respect going in, and you have to go in with the mindset that I'm going to improve it, but I'm not going to try to change it. And I think that's where you get a lot of people that are just so fucked up about, like, Post Malone. I'll say it again. I don't think his voice is made for country music from some stuff I heard yesterday, but he's coming in and he's sticking to the country values. He's sticking to how it's been done for a long time. That song that him and Wallin's got that's going to drop next week is going to fucking blow up out the frame. And it's good. It's a good little jam. He didn't come in there saying, hey, we're going to completely re-fucking invent country music. No, he said, we're going to add to it, to where Beyonce and some other people, it's not just her. She's just the person that, like, even that fucking The Bar song that we was talking about a while ago, that's the number one right now. Like, that's. No, you can't do that. You can't fucking that. That's so disrespectful. Like, I don't know. It's weird. We was even around the dude at the golf tournament the other day. Walker Hayes, the guy who did the Applebee song. I don't like the song, but I got a lot of respect for the dude. He seems like a genuinely really nice guy. But like everything that he came out with after that and just came out with, there's still country values to it, and it's not where he said, I'm going to reinvent country. He just found what worked for him after years of it not working. So it's like, okay, I'm going to stick to this. You got to respect and admire that, but people just wanting to blow up your spot, that's fucking stupid.
And I mean, and that the Applebee's song on that term, like I was telling someone the other day, as someone who's had a song go semi-viral, like every time you hear a song that you get so mad that it's going viral, you got to think sometimes, whoever's song that is, this is like the best thing that could ever happen to them. They're so happy about this. And in the Applebee song, I'm sure that changed his whole entire life and
Oh,
his
absolutely.
trajectory of his kids' lives and everything. So like, it's like, you got to be happy for him for that. But because you hear it every other video, you're kind of pissed. You're like, this fucking Applebee's song.
I'm the same one. I sat there and while we were teeing off, or teeing off, while we were at the driving range and I saw him, I was like, God damn, I hate this. I hate that song so fucking much. But the dude was out there with his kids. He's having a good time. He's there for charity and all that kind of stuff. And it's like what you just said, that probably changed his life for the better. And you don't hear anybody say anything bad about the dude or anything like that. And it's just, okay, you know what? This song might annoy the shit out of me. But he's probably been wanting that for so long. You got to appreciate the victory for the dude.
Yeah, dude, and I'm not gonna lie, like Caroline likes to go to Applebee's every once in a while. She likes the mozzarella sticks up in there, and I
Oh, I
always
love
get
cheese sticks, baby.
good. Get them cheese sticks, but I always get that Bourbon Street steak. So when he said that, I was like, well, I agree with you on one thing. I agree with you on one. He almost hit us with a golf ball at the tournament, too.
We
Where
did. We did hit somebody in front of your thing.
dude, nobody hit us, but like the closest the golf ball came to hitting us, they set us right there. Just like one person gives a little extra mustard, and like you're getting it. So I was trying to pay attention, but you'd be talking, and then all of a sudden something would land right next to you. And one of them was way close. And the golf cart that comes up ripping to get it was Walker Hayes. And I was like, shit, dude, we almost got hit by the Applebee's guy, dude.
That's cool. Have you ever heard me talk about the 1 degree rule?
1 degree rule. No.
So like I have this thing that I've came up with, and it helps me like helps me put in perspective where I'm at in this industry. And I call it the 1 degree rule. And it's where like if I'm around, if I'm associating people, that have the success that I want. If I'm in the same room, same places, all that kind of stuff, that means I'm only one degree away from where I want to be. It's like a nice little reminder. Or like if you're friends, close friends with somebody that's close friends with somebody where you want to be. It's one degree away from being where you want to be. And the last 3 years of that golf tournament, dude, like the people that we've been around just the other day, shout out to Creative Vets for doing such an amazing thing to where all these artists and everybody wants to come out. I mean, you had Jordan Davis, you had Walker Hayes, you had Sam Hunt, you had shit, I could go on and on and on. There was so many big name people there. And it's like, okay, we're at the same place as them. We've been invited to be here. We're almost there. We're almost where we want to be. And it's just a nice fucking reminder that you're almost there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually that's a great way to look at it. I know I don't think he would be mad at me for saying this, but on the way down to Nashville, Dave was just telling me, you know, he was feeling slightly discouraged, hadn't been super motivated to make content, just kind of was on the, I don't know what I'm doing right now. And every one of those people was just so like excited to see him and just loved his hats and his products and the patches and the stickers. And he was giving it all away to everyone. And I could see like a full confidence lift in him. Once the ride home was a lot different than the ride down there. And like, I think it must've hit him. The 1% thing there is just kind of like one degree, you know, like, wow.
Yeah. Well, you need me, like me, you, everybody, if you're not where you want to be at yet, you do need a reminder that you're going the right way. I try to, that's why I try to like enjoy all the little victories, because the little victories just mean I'm, you know, if something bad's happening to me, I kind of don't look at it as bad happening to me anymore. I'm wondering what I can learn from it and start treating it that way instead of like a failure. And there's all the times that I'm down on myself. Like I haven't wanted to create anything new for Instagram, TikTok, whatever, in like a week or so now. And I used to force myself to do it. I really did. Yep. And you could see it on my face that I didn't want to fucking do it. Like you could tell I was just going through the motions. And now I've learned, fuck that shit. I'm going to take a seat back. I am going to recharge, and then I'm going to give it the best I got to give it. And the bad thing about like where I live is you don't get a lot of that reassurance. You don't get a lot of people that's cheering for you. Then you get to Nashville and it's nothing. You're around dreamers. You're around artists. You're around people that's reminding you, hey, I was in the same boat you were in. And recently your life can change like that. It takes one fucking thing for your life to change. And that's just always so good to me. That's just always just, oh, I needed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine Dave felt a lot better. Cause I know when I left there the other day, I had a little extra giddy in my step.
Yeah, me too, man. Not only the feeling of like helping out and being a part of something way bigger than you, that the event, but just the people I ran into and just the whole experience. I need to go there more, honestly.
Yeah.
I ain't moving there as at this present moment, but I really
I will never. I would die.
I also think on a complete little offset of that, I think that talking to people, one of the common denominators I'm realizing when I'm talking to some of these people that we might have similar names or they're bigger, or you got this and I got this, whatever. But the one thing I don't have is living in a city with these crazy high rent prices and spending all this money trying to get your music out there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like the polar opposite. I try to spend as little amount of money as possible. So like I save that for the music creation, the content creation, the equipment, all that shit. So I don't know how they're navigating that world being like, all right, I sing at these bars. I do this side job and I live in Nashville, which is like gotta be top five on rent prices these days, you know,
places. It's gotta be horrible. It's up there. I don't know if top five, but it's fucking close.
Yeah, maybe not top five, but it's up there. It's like one of those budding young cities like Austin and shit like that.
Well, I think what's going to happen, and like I don't know if anybody has talked about this before or if it's just something I'm coming up with, but I think L.A., the way that people hate California and the way that the law is out there and their legal system, everything. I think the whole industry is moving to Nashville. I think the whole industry is fixing to come to Nashville because they know now you can take somebody that's super talented, that's a country artist, and a lot of people are willing to bend to do new genres to where 30 years ago they wasn't. It was country or nothing. And now I could see how the whole industry would want to be there.
Yeah, like Theo Von going there, like he's not even a singer. He's like just wants to be in the creative environment.
Well, it makes sense for somebody like Theo. It would make sense if I lived there. But here's the thing. You would always have content and you'd always have people to work with. But it would take away my fuel. Let me say it like that way. It would take away my fuel because I love being from the country. I love doing country shit. I love being around my daughter. I love just a small town, simple way of life.
Yeah.
I think that if I changed, that it would take away the good of me. Not that I would completely change my mindset or all this or whatever, but like my drive and my hunger, I think it would maybe like turn down my flame a little bit.
Yeah.
I can see how I would do it to a lot of people. Plus, also too, on the other side of that, I really do feel like it damn is so frustrating being there. I think it's so frustrating be there day in and day out. Cause where we're from, I always like to say I'm a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
Here. There is the opposite. You're a little fish in a big goddamn pond.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get any validation. You're not really going to get any recognition, anything to really boost you, because everybody's doing the same shit. And part is cool. That part is cool. But right. It's nice, you know. I only do my shows at Live Oaks once a month. And there's been other places around town that have tried to get me to come up there and do them more than a month or do them more. And I don't want to, because I want it to be where it is not a privilege, but it's something cool and unique when I do my show at Live Oak once a month. Where we always have some special guests come in at the end of the night. We record it for the podcast and all this kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to oversaturate what I do. Now, I got friends that have shows every night, like Raised Rowdy, and they fucking kill it every single time they put on a show. Nikki and Burrell are fucking badasses. But I would be burnt out. I want it to almost be like when I come to town and we're doing something, I want it to be special. I want people to be like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, we got to do this. I would think that if I lived there, I would feel the need to do it every day or do it all the time. Yeah. And then that kind of takes away some of the special of it, because I don't have the drive that Raised Rowdy has to make everything perfect, to make every one of their fucking shows good. I don't have that drive. I would lose my mind.
Yeah, I think I got to meet those guys briefly. Gypsy and us went over to the Live Oak, and the Raised Rowdy guys were over there. There was some music going on, but hell yeah. They got hats too.
I got one on right now.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah, I got one on right now. They're good dudes, man. I don't work with a lot of people. You know, there's this, you probably know better than anybody, there's just a lot of people that are kind of snaky, that are just out for themselves. And I refuse to work with people like that. I won't do it. Not when there's good people in this world. You know, there's a lot of people to give Gypsy a bad rap because of what she does for a living. Gypsy is one of the most genuine, nice, amazing human beings I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
And if somebody had a problem with her or me working with her, I'd tell them to kiss my fucking ass, because it doesn't get any better than that. But there's so many other people that me and you have met, or I know I've met, I won't put words in your mouth, that they just do not have your best interests out. They're going to get theirs from you, and they're going to move the fuck on. And I think that's so sad. Like, I like the idea of having the Raising Grace family, to where you, Gypsy, everybody that does stuff with us is family. We all help each other. We all support each other. We all look out for each other. It's nobody's trying to use another person to catapult themselves. If anything, I feel like with some of us, it's like, hey, look, if I'm up here, I want to fucking pull you up here with me, dude. Like, let's be on that same plane together and keep growing together. A lot of people think you got to push a motherfucker down and step on their head just to get up to the next level.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. I just I've always felt like in everything, like there's just ways to go about your rise, your climb, and there's ways to not do it. And some people may rise a little faster by being a little snaky or cutting somebody out of the deal. But I just always tried to play by my the same way I chose how to make friends. I try to apply that same thing to the people I meet now professionally. And I don't know, maybe sometimes it backfires, but I like to build a family, just like you said.
Yeah, it always backfires. There's,
It does, because if you're too nice, it's like you
no.
get
Well,
burned.
a lot of people think that niceness is weakness, dude.
Yeah.
And like you know, me and you ain't never had to have a conflict between each other, and I hope we never do. But me and you might be really nice to each other, but I'm not the nicest guy on the planet. Like my niceness isn't weakness. My niceness is me showing you respect and love and everything. I was like, but if you don't want to see the nice side, if you want to be a bitch, I'll show you a
Yeah.
bitch. Like,
Yeah.
we don't do that.
Yeah. I got my sides to me too. I just try to not, let them out too often, but I feel
Well, dude, do you have before we end this, do you got anything coming out or anything soon or anything you're working on?
you. Yeah, I mean, I don't got any like complete release dates, but I can tell people that I got some new music coming out this summer. I'm gonna try to make this the summer of resurgence of my music. We just had our second song hit 1 million streams on Spotify. That was a
Hell
huge
yeah.
milestone for us from the music that we've already released. But I don't exactly know where things are headed, but I feel like the utmost confidence that we're heading in a great direction.
I think you
And
are. I think you are.
we got to talk about one more thing before we part
Yeah.
ways though, because this is just it's been weighing on my soul. I don't know where this is going to lead, but I have to somehow acknowledge how, now pardon me if we both start crying, but how damn close we got the other day to meeting Randy Travis. And
Oh,
then it just all,
I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up, but fuck. Ooh.
I'm sorry, I have to, because it's been weighing on my mind since, like, because there's one thing about myself. A lot of people don't know this, and maybe it's not my best interest to admit this, but as out there of a guy as I am, as much as I love meeting new people, performing in front of people, everything, I suck at walking up and just talking to people,
I did
especially
too.
if it comes down to meeting somebody that, like, I deem, someone I look up to, somebody important,
Same.
musical. And to get that close, I'm talking, this isn't just a guy that I look up to. This is someone my fucking dad looks up to. We all love Randy, and we got so close. And then, like, I swear, right when I got up there, that elevator opened up and his wife pushed him in there. And it was like a metaphor closing on my dream. Like, the elevator doors just closed. And we are both like, what just happened?
I'll paint a picture for everybody. So Creative Vets throws this little thing afterwards every year. I went to the bathroom, and like if you get a special wristband from Creative Vets, you don't have to go in the crowd or whatever. Like they got you like sectioned off or whatever. And I went to the bathroom on the other side of where me and Travis was standing watching the show. And I come out the bathroom and it's like a fucking ton of bricks hit me. It was like I got punched in the fucking face by Mike Tyson. Randy Travis and his wife are right there. I stood still. I'm fucking stoned. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I want to say, hey, I get a picture so bad. I don't know what to do. So I walked over there. And when I walked back to where Travis was, I had to be ghost white. And
Yeah.
I was like, Randy Travis is fucking right there. And he's in our section on the other side of it, but still in the private area. I was like, I want a picture. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity of this again. And I'm such a fucking fan of Randy Travis. Well, Travis being a badass that he is, he's like, fuck it. Let's go. I'll ask. And I was like, yes. And I get back over there, and both of us are just standing there in amazement for about a good minute close to it. And the second Travis got the balls up to go do it, the elevator fucking opened and they were gone forever.
Just gone.
Oh.
And like I there was like the it felt like 15 seconds total of like time, but like the tiniest hesitation clearly led to that amount of time that it, the hesitation is the space that we needed to get up there. I did think about one thing to justify it in my mind, and this is just me trying to make myself feel better. But I was like, I don't exactly know how the picture would have turned out the way that they were positioned on the elevator. They had a bunch of people behind them. And I told myself this, I would rather the elevator door have opened and closed on me than me to say something to them and then be like, basically like, no, this isn't
you
a good
missed
time.
Opportunity. Like, yeah, you missed. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, I would feel like now Randy Travis hates me. And like, and then all of a sudden he's all over the place the next day. And I was like, man, we were just right there. Like, I kind of only saw the back corner of his head, but I felt like I could have reached out and touched him if I wanted. Yeah. Obviously that ain't cool, but
it blew my mind. And it's just, but also once again, this would be a cool way to end it. Once again, the 1 degree rule. The 1 degree rule. We're right there.
I know.
They're right there. Because, like, that's what I had to. I did the same thing you did. I had to justify in my head why I didn't act.
Yeah.
And mine was, man, he probably gets hassled all the fucking time. You know, I didn't want to be one of those that hassled, because I'm not. I don't get starstruck often. It's only happened to me once before with Vince Gill. And I am such a Vince Gill fan. Oh, my God. It's the only two times I've ever been this, like, stoned.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? It's, you know, I probably would have bothered him more than anything. But then when he dropped that AI thing the next day, I was like, oh my God, we were right there. They had the same outfit on. The videos that are all over TikTok and everywhere else now is the same outfit he had on that night. And I'm just so like,
he clearly just ran around and did these videos probably that day or in the studio or whatever. Which, I feel like now looking back, he probably would have been like, hey, we're actually trying to promote this song. So, like, he probably would have been down to make a, you know, a TikTok with us. But damn it. I'm going to use that moving forward as a great example to not be afraid of that shit.
Yeah, you can't. You never know, dude. And like, I would imagine 99% of the time the answer is going to be yes. 99% of the time the answer is going to be yes. You're going to get somebody that's had a bad day or they're trying to enjoy themselves and they don't want anybody else to notice them. You're going to have that shit. But most of the time people are going to say yes because they don't know who they're saying no to. Yeah. I've seen that now to where like sometimes people will say no and it'll end up being some kid with Make-A-Wish or something that they didn't know. So now everybody pretty much just says fucking yes. But dude, I'm telling you I didn't know until I was reading the thing last night. I don't think the article came out till last night, but I've always hated AI. Randy Travis literally made me change my complete outlook on AI now. Like the fact that they took his voice and they made that song. Oh my God. We're fucked with AI, but still shit.
So I went down a whole spiel on it yesterday too. It kind of like went a whole nother squirrely side of TikTok, but the AI thing is very taboo topic, you know, because what does it mean for music? It's great that they were able to do that for him, give him a voice. Like, we needed Randy right now. I agree with that. But using the AI like that, it's like back to the chart thing. You know, that thing's like number two on the country charts right now. And I was like, I know we're making an exception for old Randy. I love the guy, but like, that's also crazy that like we can like, you know, you can chart with a song that maybe was sang by somebody else. You know, I'm giving him the pass. It's not me to give it, but I'm giving him the pass. But it is scary how many people in the comment section fully thought that
I did. Cause I've heard his progression. And like, it wasn't too long ago, he did Amazing Grace or one of his songs at the Opry. I can't remember what it was, but he had assistance. Like it wasn't like 100% or anything like that. But I was like, damn, he's progressing. Like he's getting better.
Yeah.
And because I didn't know it was AI to start off with. And I would imagine a lot of people that got those reaction videos didn't. And I'm with you. He gets a pass, but this is what's weird. This is what made me think, what's next with that though? It's like, damn, could we have took a Hank Sr. song or took Hank's voice and put it to damn an Eric Church song now and make it a number one? Like, holy shit, what can we do now?
Like, if you, or like, here, I've been thinking about all these different scenarios. Like, if you want You always wanted this your favorite artist to sing a cover song, but they have no interest in doing it. You can damn near plug it in if they're popular enough, pick the song, and next thing you know, you can make, you know, Jason Aldean do a Notorious B.I.G. cover. It might not sound perfect, but they say this about AI, and this is what's scary. If you don't think AI is good, just check back on it tomorrow, because it's literally getting better every single second. So what we're seeing now, if we've seen that Randy Travis song, it sounds that good. Give it 6 months. I don't know what's going to happen. It's probably
it's going to be fucked up. But that's why all those writers and everything are boycotting it. Like, there's so many people that are up in arms against it, because you're right. It's not fair. It's not. I mean, it's just not fair. So, and what is really scary is when the music industry figures out. Randy Travis might have fucked everybody, all honesty, and I ain't think about it till now. But what if they decide they're going to quit paying artists and they're going to start paying for AI production for albums? And all you got to do is pay the producer. Because I doubt that AI can produce it, but they maybe can. I don't know.
I don't know that side of it yet.
I don't know. But
it probably can over time.
Yeah, because I don't think you can own a sound. I don't think.
I was just going to say, like, what if an artist has, like, a contract, like, I owe you two more albums, and they, like, get themselves out of it. Who's to stop a record label from going, nah, you owe us two more albums. We're just going to keep your music going.
I wonder if there's going to end up being a thing, because nobody would have had to have this before. I wonder if there's going to have to end up being, like, a copyright on your voice. If there's going to have to be, like, ownership of your actual voice now when you sign a contract.
Dude, I really do believe, like, this Randy Travis thing, like I said, you know, he gets the pass, but I think laws are going to be created because of this, like, immediately. And it's going to be like, well, who's to stop me from, like, until it's illegal, I'm not going to do this. But, like, let's just say I release a song tomorrow. It's like, Dirty Prescott Kids featuring Randy Travis. And it's just an AI version of him in the song. Like, Drake just did it with Tupac and Snoop Dogg, both of them AI generated.
I didn't know that.
I don't. It wasn't like a release, like a official release, but it was. I don't know. Long story short, he's in this little diss match with Kendrick Lamar right now, and one of his songs had AI Tupac, and I was like, now you know that ain't legit. Like, using someone that's not with us anymore, or.
I'm a conspiracy theory nut anyway, but Tupac's alive.
There's a good chance he is, but you can tell by the twang of how Tupac is rapping that it's Drake behind the mic and an AI overlay. But anyways, it's like, there's so many categories that people have to question, like artists that aren't alive anymore, artists that didn't get permission to use their voice. Like, do you own your voice, or is the AI not your voice? It's a mimic of your voice. Like, what do they call it? Interpolating, when, like, you use a clip of someone's song, but you didn't use the actual clip. You played it yourself, like, on a guitar. People get away with that shit a lot because it's technically, I think it's interpolating and not sampling.
Have you seen the songs that people are putting out on TikTok now, to where it's like, I glued my balls to my butthole or whatever, and it's an AI. But it'll make it like an old album cover.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of different ones, but there's one that's like an old, like a Motown vibe.
Yeah.
And
it's I glued
my balls to my butthole last night. Like, and it sounds fucking good. And you're like, what the fuck?
The one that I fell for last summer, it took me 10 minutes to realize that I just shared an AI song. But, you know, Jason Aldean's got that very distinctive little.
I already know what you're talking about. I did the same goddamn thing.
I was like, it sounded like him, the nuance in his voice. And then people are like, yeah, you know, this is AI. And then it dawned on me, yeah, he probably wouldn't release something this, you know, this explicit. But it was like, damn, dude, I fell for it.
I got tricked. So Lainey Wilson and Luke Combs had to come out against this company. But I've got the vitamin sitting in there. It's like this weight loss gummy that's got apple cider vinegar in it. And I've drank, when I lost a lot of weight before, I drank a lot of apple cider vinegar, but I fucking hated it. So this company used Lainey Wilson and Luke Combs' voice, And they got them to say how much weight they had lost using these gummies and all kind of shit. Then did it like over some of their videos that were public. Yeah, I bought like $200 worth of gummies from this company because I literally thought it was what they were using. And
oh my God.
Yeah, they got me. If they got me, they got everybody. The second I posted it on Facebook, the second I posted it on Instagram or whatever, and I was like, thanks, Lanny. Thanks, Luke. Look forward to trying these or whatever. There's like 100 people messaging me like, bitch, you clearly have not seen the article yet. Like, that was AI. That was not there.
They're doing it. I see it all the time with Joe Rogan. They use him to endorse products that he doesn't do. So before I really realized AI was going to be the downfall, you know, 2 years ago, there was like this little stupid little voice generator you could get as an app on your phone, and you could pick shit like The Rock, Cartman, you know, shit like that. And basically, the closer you tried to talk like them, the better it sounded. And I made this one of The Rock, and I thought it was so blatantly not The Rock, but it sounded kind of like him. But it said, like, you know, Dirty Prescott Kids, Blame Tequila's coming out. And it was like him holding his Teremana tequila. Yeah. And I had some congratulation messages immediately. I instantly had to take it down and start telling people, yo, I thought this was clearly a joke. I do not fucking know The Rock, and he did not endorse my song. Like, I wasn't going to let that.
That's cool of you, though, because a lot of people wouldn't.
Yeah, and I really did. I thought it was just such a blatant joke, and it didn't even sound like him, in my opinion. Yeah. But I think this is going to get bad.
I think what would be cool with that, though, as long as they didn't have, like, a horrible death. Like, you couldn't do – like, if you did Hank Sr., you couldn't have Hank Sr. promoting Budweiser. You know, you could have him promoting something else, but I think some people would like laugh at something like that, like Dale Earnhardt, like Good Brake Pads or some shit. Like you could have some fun with it, but at the same time, like I could see how people would get, it would have to be so, like it would have to be somebody's already passed on that would have no chance of actually doing it. So you know that it's satire. Like you could have some fun with it, but it probably get close to some people getting pissed.
Oh, for sure. I know before the AI and everything was like a full conversation, I know years back, maybe even 10 years ago, Coachella had a full hologram of Tupac.
Yep, I remember that.
I think his family approved it, but all of a sudden, he's just on stage and he's like, what's up, Coachella? Which he never played Coachella to my knowledge. Yeah. So like him saying that, it's like this person that, like if Dale Earnhardt came out as a hologram and introduce the next Talladega, people would be like,
what the fuck?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But then you'd think about it and you'd be like, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where this leads, but I'm kind of scared, brother.
It's either going to be really good or really bad. It either really improves what's going on and adds to it, or it's going to completely bring it to its downfall.
But you know, back to the Randy Travis thing, if it's helping people like that, it's almost giving someone a set of legs that didn't have them before. It's a beautiful thing. So like it can be used for good, I guess. We'll see.
Well, dude, I've enjoyed this. I'm going to have to get you to come to Nashville with us when we're up there recording all week sometime soon. And like network and hang out and just fucking be part of the show more. I love when you're a part of the show. You're just one of my dudes, and I appreciate you taking time on a Sunday, hanging out for a little bit. I appreciate you helping create events and just being you, brother. I just appreciate you.
Thank you, Josh, man. I always love talking to you. And if you got any more events that I could help out with or meet people, I'm always down, as long as we can swing getting down to Nashville for a week. Or I still never seen you in Georgia yet.
Hey, look, I got asked about you hosting a mullet competition the other day at the place where I do the Josh Terry Honky Tonk Nights and making it the Hummingbird. The owner reached out to me and wanted to know if you'd be interested in hosting their mullet toss this year and our mullet competition. I'll hook you up with her number and see if we can set something up.
All right, man. That sounds good. I think I could judge a mullet competition.
Well, as good as yours is, you better be able to.
Yeah, dude, well, I don't know, man. You, every time I've ever been involved with the mullet contest, I think mine's good until I see the people that enter the contest. Then I'm like, oh, shit.
I'll do yours is fire. Yours is epic.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
All right, bud. Well, hey, thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. I will catch all y'all next time. See you this week in Nashville, by the way. The show this week is May the 8th at Live Oak from 5 to 11. Y'all come out, have a good time with us. We'll see you then.